Ramsey TV.
Hey, just for fun, let's look at all the things in Romans chapter 9 that Christians don't believe. Verse 11, for not as yet being born, nor putting anything into practice, good or bad, but the purpose of God may be remaining as a choice, not out of acts, but of him who is calling. They don't believe that. Not out of acts, but of him who is calling. It was declared to her that the greater shall be slaving for the inferior, according as it is written, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. They don't believe that. Verse 18, for to Moses he is saying, I shall be merciful to whomever I may be merciful, I shall be pitying whoever I may be pitying. They don't believe that. Consequently, then it is not of him who is willing, nor of him who is racing, but of God the merciful. They don't believe that. For the scripture is saying to Pharaoh that for this selfsame thing I rouse you up. They don't believe that. That I should be publishing my name throughout the entire earth. Consequently, then, to whom he is willing, he is merciful, yet whom he will, he is hardening. They don't believe that. That was verse 18. All right. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender. Good morning. It's early Thursday morning, and I am happy to be with you here with my car light. You see, this is why I turn my car light on, because if you're watching the car cam, you are now looking at what I look like without the car light on. So now watch the difference. Car light on, car light off. On, off, on, off. Let's try this. I have twitchy fingers. Wonder if I can do a strobe effect. No, not fast enough. They're not that twitchy. Here we go. Now, this is what I've always wanted to do at a conference, but for some reason I've never done it. Let's go on in Romans 9 here, and then I'll tell you what I've wanted to do, but I haven't done, and I don't know why. I haven't done it because I can't find my Play-Doh. I know that doesn't make sense to you right now, but it will as we go on here. Okay, we've just learned that God makes vessels of honor and dishonor. Well, actually, we learned that he's merciful to whom he will, yet he's hardening whom he will. Mercy in this context is that God causes someone to be a believer. That's merciful. The hardening is making people stubborn to the things of God, making people not believe in God, and making people hard. And that word is actually used, only the word is indirect. I'm thinking of a verse in Isaiah where the prophet says, why, O Lord, have you made us indirect to your love? That is hard. It's a fancy concordant word there in the Hebrew scriptures. Why have you made us hard? This is the prophet speaking of the entire nation. Lord, why have you made us indirect to thy fear? Maybe that's what he said. Something to the effect that the same thing Paul is saying here, that Israel as a nation has been hardened. And that's the whole purpose of chapters 9, 10, and 11, to talk about Israel, their fate, what happened to them, how it happened to them. But I think it's interesting that Paul's not coming out of left field here, but it was stated long ago through the prophet Isaiah, realizing that God made the entire nation hard. So, along that line, read with me verse 20. Here it is. That which is molded will not protest to the molder, why did you make me this way? Let's go on. I got a lot to say about that verse. Has not the potter, verse 21, has not the potter the right over the clay out of the same kneading, that is, out of the same lump of clay? You take a lump and that's one lump. It's one kneading of clay. To make one vessel indeed for honor, yet one for dishonor. There, finally we got to it after a couple weeks. There's verse 21, that the potter and the clay. You've heard of that analogy? You've heard of the potter and the clay? This harkens back to the Old Testament too, because there's another prophet back there, Jeremiah, who went down to the potter's house. And he saw the potter used to be a big deal back then, because they didn't have any dishes without a potter. They didn't have any vases. You know, they didn't have any ashtrays. So the potter made all this stuff. Now it's all made in China by factories, you know, assembly lines. Not so much the potter with the clay on the wheel. It's become like an old-fashioned art, something you see at street fairs. But back in the day, it was a big deal. So Jeremiah went down there. God showed him, this is me. I want to give you an example of my control of Israel. And This is also his control of the whole world. And look at what the potter does, God said to Jeremiah. Now watch the potter, because he's going to do something really crazy now. And the potter had no idea that Jeremiah was there as an object lesson. This potter's name was Joe, I'm guessing. And little did he know that he was going to become an example for all time, for the rest of the eons, of God's control over humanity. And that Paul would be picking up the theme in Romans chapter 9. What did the potter do? He marred the vessel. He made a nice vessel. But then there's something about it he didn't like. So he smashed it flat like that. And he made another vessel out of it. Jeremiah was going, whoa, I got to tell Isaiah about this. Woo, that was intense. Because the vessel was marred, Scripture says, in the hand of the potter. Marred in the hand of the potter. Christians don't believe that either. They believe that everything God touches is absolutely golden and perfect. Well, it is perfect in its imperfection. They don't think God would ever mar a pot. This inspired the title of my book, which was Flawed by Design. I have a book. Look it up. MartinZender.com. Go to books. Flawed by Design. This will make you feel better about your flaws. I'm sorry to assume you have any. I'm sorry if this doesn't apply to you. Pretend I didn't say that. But if let's just say, hypothetically, if you have flaws, I want you to know that you're flawed by design. That the pot is marred in the hands of the potter. You have your quirks. You have your problems. You have things in your life you wish you could get over. I'm sure Israel as a nation looked at itself consequent to the death and resurrection of Christ and say, what happened? What happened? Our temple got destroyed by the meanie from Rome, Titus. What happened? Well, this is what happened. You were marred in the hands of the potter. This is true nationally for Israel. It's true individually of everyone else. Paul says in another place, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That's the clay. That's the clay. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Why? That the power may be of God and not of us. And so this is the lesson Israel's going to learn, that the powers of their great national resurrection, which is yet future, God hasn't given up on it, they're going to find out that the power that makes that happen is the power of God, not of them. Same lesson Abraham had to learn with Isaac and Ishmael. Tried to produce the promised son in his own power, a child of the flesh was produced. I'm sorry, I hear a helicopter overhead there, spying out my freedom in Christ. Probably Joel Osteen up there. So Israel marred. Jeremiah sees the potter marring a vessel, purposely doing it and to build another one. This is a picture of what God would do with Israel. He would cast them away temporarily cast them away, but then he would bring them back. It's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. It's all of God. It's an object lesson. God is doing all this stuff. Okay, so I want to go back to the thing being molded, protesting. Let's go back. I'm going to go back to that, but I want to read this again. Because this is the thing that the thing molded is potentially protesting about. Has not the potter the right over the clay? The potter is the creator. A simple example. People say to me, well, free will, you say there's no such thing as free will. We say God gave everyone a free will. Well, there seems to be some indications of both things in the scripture. It's just a mystery. It's just a mystery. That's how people evade these things that are put into their face and they don't agree with their traditional teaching. A mystery, it's right here. Don't you think that God, somewhere in the scripture, would give an example of how he deals with the human race? An example of the relation of the human race to himself. Yes, and here it is. It's a simple example. It's potter and clay. Get it? Potter and clay. The clay is inanimate. The clay is completely at the control of the potter. And I want to get to the what I want to do at a conference, but I haven't done yet. I haven't forgotten that. That which is molded, okay, I'm going to get back to that, yeah. Has not the potter the right over the clay out of the same kneading to make one vessel indeed for honor, yet one for dishonor? The same kneading, that is the same clay. I never forget the day back in either 1980, 81, something like that, where I realized that I was the same lump of clay as Adolf Hitler and the same lump of clay as Joel Osteen. No, I didn't realize that in 80 because Joel Osteen wasn't on the scene yet. I'll go ahead with Hitler. I was of the same lump. This verse blew my mind. Out of the same kneading. That is, there's not some evil flesh over here. There's not some good flesh over here. The kneading, that is, the lump of clay, is analogous in this context to the common humanity. Common humanity. We're all made of the same clay. So God, of the same lump. It's not like he has an option where, oh, look over here. I got an evil lump of clay over here. This is where I keep the evil clay. It's somehow made itself evil, and I'll just take a little bit of it, and I'll make Adolf Hitler. Oh, here's a pile of good clay over here. I don't know how it became good, but must have read a how-to book or some kind of Boy Scout manual. Anyway, I need a vessel of honor, so I'm going to pull from the good lump of clay. No, that's not how he does it. From the same lump of clay, he makes something. So the clay, to begin with, is neutral. It's just clay. It's inanimate. It's inert. It just sits there. And God is the one who makes it into whatever he wants to make it. Whether it's a vessel of honor, such as a beautiful vase that sits on a shelf in a museum, or an ashtray. Which, ashtrays are very functional. It's just not a very glorious calling to be an ashtray. But they're needed. Now, there you go. There you go. Pharaoh. Not a very glorious vessel, but needed. Very much needed. Ashtrays are needed. We need ashtrays. Piss pots. Back in the day, I suppose, they had little piss pots. I don't think the outhouse was even invented back in Bible days. So there was a vessel made for a piss pot and a vessel made for a eating utensil, maybe a fork. Did they make forks out of clay? Yeah. No? Chopsticks? No. Well, I don't know. Could be. We think the Chinese invented chopsticks. How do we know? They didn't use them in the Bible days. I got much more to say on this, but I'm going to close with this for now. I have to tell you before I let you go here what I did, what I want to do at the conference. What I want to do that I haven't done yet, but wait for it, is I want to take a lump of clay. And for years I thought I was going to do this, and I had for the purpose, I had a little can of Play-Doh, right? You remember that when you were a kid? I had a little can of red Play-Doh in my Bible bag, and I would carry it around. Actually, it was my scripture satchel, not my Bible bag, my scripture satchel. And I said, one of these days, I'm going to introduce myself at a conference. I'm Martin Zender. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I'm sure you've heard of me, but I'm going to give a little demonstration here before we do anything else. I'm going to take this lump of clay. I wouldn't tell them it's Play-Doh. I'm telling you that, but I would not tell them. I would not tell my audience that. If you happen to be in the audience the day I do this, you'll know, but shh. Keep it on the down low, please. So I'm going to put this piece of clay on the podium, set it on top of the podium. And I'm going to say, all right, ladies and gentlemen, now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to conduct a great experiment. I'm going to put this clay on the top of the podium here. And now I'm going to go sit down for 5 minutes, and we're going to give this clay an opportunity to make itself into either an ashtray or a beautiful vase. Okay, and then I would put the music for Jeopardy, you know, when the music they play when they're doing the final Jeopardy. Do 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 do. And then I'm gonna play that, and while that's playing, I'm gonna be sitting down, and we're all gonna be staring at this clay, staring at it, and it's gonna be very awkward because I'm gonna let it go for 5 minutes. And people be going like, when's he going to stop? We get the point. Do you? Do you? Good. I hope that anyone watching over your shoulder here who doesn't know this truth yet gets the point. Is that I could go away for 5 minutes. I could go away for 5 days. I could go away for 50 or 500 years. And that clay, left to its own, will not be able to make itself into anything, either good or evil, without the hands of a potter. I wonder if that's how God deals with the human race.